Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It is an honor to be in the house of the Lord, to be able to minister and speak a word that is of God. I pray you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I pray that you were able to get together with family and friends and be able to enjoy this time of the year and just enjoy each other and enjoy this ability to eat good food and have great conversation and be at peace with one another. If you can grab your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I want to thank our pastor, my brother Jay Robinson. I want to thank Pastor Emeritus Hargrove, Minister Luther, Deacon Terrell and Wanda Carter. I pray for all of our ministers, pastors, wives, and everyone that makes up this waiting congregation. I pray for you all. I love you all dearly. I just pray that we continue to walk on in Christ and be a powerful influence in this earth that we live in this world and community that we live in. The scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 14. I will be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads as this. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. But we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Brothers and sisters, I read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And before we get into the sermon, let's go into prayer. But the title of this sermon will be The Fragrance of Christ. The Fragrance of Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that I decrease and then you increase in me, Father God, that I can deliver a word that is not of me, but a word that is of you, Father God. Touch every ear that's on this call, Father God. Touch every heart that's on this call. Open us up, Father God, that we're able to receive that a word that is of you, Father God. Correct us, Father God. Chastise us if we need to be. Correct us, Father God, if we have to be corrected, Father God. We don't mind these things, Father God, as long as it brings us closer to you, Lord. We are your children, Father God. We are your servant, Father God. We are a friend because you said you will let your friend know what's next, what's happening, Father God, so we consider you a friend. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Father God, to be able just to be in your presence, Lord. You didn't have to wake us up, Father God, but you did. You didn't have to allow us this opportunity, but you did, Father God. And we know that every day we wake up and every time we raise from our bed is another opportunity to get better, Father God. Make us better, Father God. Allow us to go into this world and minister to your people. Allow us to go into this world and be an influence to your people, Father God. We are not living in this world for ourselves, but we're living in this world for each other, Lord. Give us the strength and the courage to do what you have called us to do. And we say this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The fragrance of Christ. We just celebrated Thanksgiving on Thursday, and I pray that we all had the opportunity to have a good time. And some may have to work, and some may was off from work and was able to get together with family and friends, and some may just stay at home and had a good meal. But the one thing about Thanksgiving that always stands out to me is the aroma of the good food. You know, you can if you're not the cook of the house, you may be laying in bed or you may be sitting on watching TV, but you can start smelling the aroma from the kitchen. You can start smelling the sweet potato pie or the collard greens, the cornbread, the turkey, the ham. You can smell all these things, and all these things start to get your attention, and your stomach start to growl, and you may even take a couple of trips into the kitchen to see if something's ready. And what I learned being a cook these days is that you get the blessing of tasting your own food before anybody else can taste it. So the aroma of the food kind of overwhelms you, and it just does something to you. The aroma brings some kind of, it mentally does something to you, physically does something to you, but it brings peace and brings joy. I know many of us probably have ate more than we should have ate this Thanksgiving. For the past few months, I've been on a diet, and I've been counting my calories, and on Thursday, I decided to kind of throw that out the window while I ate Thanksgiving dinner, and I got on the scale, and I realized that I probably should have kept counting my calories because that scale has moved up quite a bit. But it's because of that aroma of that food has caught my attention. In the scripture that we read, Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth, and he's telling them that now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph to Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So every place has the fragrance, the aroma, the presence of God in every place. Verse 15 says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." So we are being dispersed in this world because we are the fragrance of Christ. We are the presence of Christ within these rooms. So when you go to work, you are the fragrance of Christ. When you go to your job, into your house, into your car, into any community or any situation that you're in, you are presenting yourself as the presence, the fragrance of Christ. And the thing about a fragrance, it fills the whole room. You don't have to walk around with the Bible in your hand. You don't have to have a cross around your neck. You don't have to dress a certain kind of way. It's just on you and it's in you. If people can smell it, people can see it, people can feel it because you are there, because Christ is on you and it's in you. You are the fragrance of Christ. And what verse 15 says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved." Those people who are still trying to learn about God. And I'll tell you right now, brothers and sisters, we are all still trying or still learning about Christ. So you can, don't close your ears off to certain people because everyone can give you a word from God. But he says this, "But those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." We are living in a world of people that are dying because they do not know the true word of God. And some are rejecting the word of God because it's not feeding to their ears. It's not a sweet aroma as Christ is to us. It is it's a smell of death to some of them because they are living in a world that is, or they living or trying to stay in a world that is dying because they think there's life in it. The prisons and jails are filled with individuals who thought discreet life was a life that was of sweet aroma to them, but they're realizing that it gave them 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years in life in prison because that aroma was something that deceived them. Verse 16 says this, "To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death." Brothers and sisters, we have all tried to minister to someone who ain't trying to hear us. We have all tried to share the gospel to someone who just thought that we were talking out of our head. They didn't want to hear what God is saying to them. They didn't want to tell them. They think you're a hater. They think you that you're just talking crazy, that this is how life's supposed to be. You're living for something that's fake, something that you can't see, but we know there's something on the other side. The great thing about a fragrance or aroma is you don't always see it, but you can feel it. You can smell it. You know, when you're around your preteens, you start to be introduced to colognes and perfumes. And one thing you have to teach young people that you can't put too much on because it can hurt someone's nose with that much on you. And you don't want to do too less because some of you can't smell it. But if you do just the right amount, there it's perfect. You smell good, you look good, you feel good. And everybody does not receive it the same way. It says again, to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. So when some people hear the word of God, they know that it is the word of God because of who it's coming from. They can see it and smell it on you because the way you carry yourself, the way you live in your life. Like I said before, you don't have to have a Bible in your hand. You don't have to have a cross on you. You don't have to have the robes and garments and all the things that make you feel and look like you're holy and righteous. You just got to be holy and righteous. And people can see and feel the sincerity coming from you. It's the fragrance of Christ that's already on you that people can, that's being drawn to you. But we can also see and smell death. I know we all have gone outside and said, something done died out here. It's just that strong. You can see the buzzards flying around because we know something has died. And we can know when people are not living the life that they have been called to live, that you can see it in their face. They're looking older than what they really are. They just look worn out and beat down because life is taking a toll on them because they are wearing the aroma. They have been drawn to death, and death is taking a toll upon them. But it's our job as the fragrance, as the person of Christ, the godly people that we are, that we have been called to be, is to go out and share that Christ and give them another way, or give them another opportunity to let them know that Christ is real. Our presence fills the room that we're in. Believe it or not, there's people know about you that you don't have not even met yet. People in your job know about you that they have not even met you, but they know what kind of character you are just because how you carry yourself. What kind of aroma are you giving off, life or death? Finish 16, it says, and who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God. Brothers and sisters, we can turn on our so-called Christian networks and see people peddling the word of God for their own advances. We see people in the pulpits and see people on the corners and preaching God, not for God, but for themselves. The Bible tells about people preaching, standing in the corners of stores and preaching so they can be seen and be drawn. They give themselves titles of super prophet, mega apostle, or whatever it is, because it's all about them. It's not about the sincerity of the word of God. Paul says this, for we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God. We speak in the sight of God in Christ. What we minister and what we do is not from a place of exalting ourselves, but it's a place of being true to the Lord and Savior that saved us, being the servant that God has called us to be, being the person God wants us to be, to go out into this world and to minister. I don't do this for profit or for gain. I don't do this for clarity. I don't do this to have my name on a billboard. I don't have to do this for my name to be all in lights, but I do this for Christ to be edified and glorified and magnified. That's why I do what I do. That fragrance that is on you is also in you because it's Christ in you. Christ didn't do it for himself. He did it for God. If you can turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read this starting at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. God loves it. Our God loves it. The pure, holy, and righteous is a sweet smell to our Lord and Savior, to God. It's a sweet smell, a sweet-smelling aroma. But you can weaken this smell or dilute this or eliminate this smell by doing this. Verse 3 says this, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. As Christians, we are seen, we are heard, and our words go farther than we know, and sometimes our actions go farther than we can know. People see our actions and see what we do, and it just dilutes what God has already put in upon you. We are made to be the aroma of this world. We are made to be the fragrance. We are made to be changers of this world, not adapting or transforming to it. We are made to change our communities, change our households, change our lives. And by us doing these things, people can see it. People can feel it. People can smell the difference. People are aware of what's happening in our lives. And by you just doing the things that make a difference in your life changes those that are around you. The fragrance of Christ is just not on you. It has to be in you. And what's in you will come out, and people will see. We are changers. We are game changers. If you watch sports and you watch any kind of football and basketball, and I salute the Gator fans. Y'all beat us yesterday. It's okay. It's all right. But every team usually has someone they call a game changer. That person can take over a game. He can make a difference. He can run the ball, catch the ball, kick the ball. He can do it all. He just changed the game. And God has called you to be that game changer in your environment. You can change the situation just by your presence. You can change the situation by your prayers. You can change the situation by your fasting. You can change the situation by your studying. You can just change the situation by being who God has called you to be. You are a game changer. It's just not on you, it's in you. And continue to allow that is in you to grow. And what's in you will be displayed out to the world just because it's in you. Be who God has called you to be. Serve the way God has called you to serve, and love the way God has called you to love. God bless you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Father God, for all you have done and all that you will continue to do in our lives, Lord. We pray for our families. We pray for our community. We pray for our church family. We pray for the state, this world, this country, Father God. We know, Father God, coronavirus is here, Lord. We know that it is here to teach us something. We pray that you open our eyes and open our minds, that we be able to receive what you're teaching us, Father God. And we pray, Lord, that we can be able to be a light to this world that is in darkness. We pray, Lord, that our presence, Father God, be known to those that are in darkness, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we have an open heart, a warm heart, Father God, to be able to share your word to other people, Lord. Be the ministers and servants that you have called us to be, Father God. Be who you want us to be, Father God. And, Father God, if we are incorrect, chastise us, Father God. Correct us, Father God, because we do not want to be in hell. We want to be in your presence in heaven, Lord. Only the righteous and pure will make it there, Father God. So correct us, Lord. Give us conviction, Father God. Give us strength. Give us courage, Father God, to combat our evil demons and whatever it is that may be coming toward us, Father God. Be the aroma to this world, Father God. We know that you are capable of doing all things, and you will not just leave us here, Father God, to fail, but you allowed us, you're bringing us here to succeed, Father God, and also not only for us to succeed, but to help others come to their fullness, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for being who you are, and thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And we say this praying in Son Jesus' name. God bless you all.